Also, I'm Tom Schumacher. Interestingly, the way Tim Rice first came to us, Tim Rice had done a deal with the Walt Disney Company to produce the film Evita, because we have these interesting businesses. We have the feature animation business in California and the theatrical business here in New York, where we produce plays like The Lion King and stuff. And as part of his Evita deal, this is going way back into the late 80s, there was a consulting arrangement with Tim, and Tim had done a memo on a Dolly Parton movie that was in development called Straight Talk.
The first thing he sent me about a few weeks later was a Dolly Parton script, and he said, "Oh, buddy, I don't want you to write any songs for this, because Dolly's done all the songs." I thought, great. He said, "But we just want some advice as to where you think the songs could go, or what sort of songs Dolly should do." And there's $25,000 fee. I thought, well, this is more interesting.
And he talked about how you could musicalize that. And someone slipped Peter Schneider and I a copy of this memo. And we said, gee, Tim Rice is really smart. Not only does he write savvy lyrics and dramatic lyrics and tell compelling narrative through his songs, but his ability to analyze a project is really deep.
I can remember I was in Australia with Chess, I think, and I was going to go back to LA on the way back and see Jeffrey Katzenberg. I thought, oh, God, I better do this Dolly Parton thing. So I'd sat down in the hotel in Sydney, almost literally the last day before flying to LA. I went through the whole thing and I said, this sort of song here, and basically, I didn't quite know what I was doing, but I was just thinking, well, this might work, and song here, big ballad, song about frying fish here, whatever.
He's the ultimate dinner party guest. He is simply sublime and a joy to be with, and I've been with him all over the planet, and he's a very amusing, fascinating, very deep man who hides within his charming exterior.
I had it sent to Jeffrey in L.A., and he thought it was brilliant. And he sent it as a memo around most of the film studios as an example of how to present a very clear case for song plotting. And I got a credit on the movie at the end as music consultant. None of my suggestions, as far as I can see, were ever taken up.
So we got that memo, and from that, we actually called him and at that time asked him to do two things. One was to complete the unfinished work of Howard Ashman on Aladdin. So Howard Ashman and Alan Menken had written a remarkable score for Aladdin, but Howard had died before the project was completed, and this meant that we would need some new song material. And we called upon Tim to collaborate with Alan for that.
Disney had just had a big hit with Little Mermaid, and they were working on Beauty and the Beast. And Jeffrey's dream, and it worked, was to get the animation back on track, because they hadn't had the old classic Disney animation.
At the same time, I had just begun as the producer of a little project called The Lion King, which was not a musical at the time. And I asked him if he could imagine a way to musicalize the project.
I was shown Alma Studio and given the guided tour and shown Beauty and the Beast in the making. I loved all that. I thought, this is great. I love animation. I love cartoons. I love Disney. I love the humor of it. It's fun. It seems a world away from all these theater people who I've got thoroughly fed up with. And they offered me something called King of the Jungle. We've got Beauty and the Beast, and we've got Aladdin, and then we got this one. And Alan Menken's doing the music for those, and we want you to do the songs for the King of the Jungle. And it's all about this lion cub who grows up and gets ousted by his evil uncle. And it's sort of Hamlet with fur, it was pitched to me as.
He's one of the first people who came in, and we began working. And Tim was on it for about 4 or 5 months as we began to talk about how to make it a musical.